And so yesterday, we had another build the wall day. Okay, so some people are struggling to stretch like this, walking around a little bit like this because their muscles are stiff. Any stiff people here? There we go, a couple of them. Even Carl is stiff. Die man van Stahl. If he's stiff, then you know we worked hard. Okay, so, but we had a lot of fun as well. And we got our soccer post this week, and we played a great game of soccer afterwards and Bride, and we got a lot of work done. And so I just want to honor you and thank you for coming to serve and giving up your Saturday morning. You don't have to do that, but you do. And so we, from Jolene and my side and from the leadership side, we really, really value and appreciate every rock that has been placed in a basket. We see those cuts. We see those grazes. And we say, thank you for sacrificing for this church. The good news is we got a lot done. The bad news is, the exciting news is there's still a lot more to do. So it's all very exciting, you know, having this deadline of the 12th of March. In case you don't know what we're busy with, there is a slide there what we're going to do on the 12th of March. We are having the launch of phase one of the healing center. And Jolene reminded me, I think it was last night, she said, it's only something like, 3 weeks to go? Is it 3 weeks? I'm in denial. I'm like, no, we've got 6 weeks. 2024, it's next year. It's next year. There's actually not so much work to be done there. So, but yeah, in 3 weeks' time, it's all happening there at the top. And so I want to encourage you even now. I realized now we're changing gears because now we know about it, but now we need to start telling other people about it and inviting them. I've really got an expectation that that God is going to encounter a lot of unsaved people on the day as well. And so invite family, invite friends, and let's trust the Lord to do something amazing. Let's pray for Pastor Heinrich that the Lord gives him the word for the day. Let's pray for, all the people that are going to be involved on the day. Oh, yes. And I keep on forgetting, but there's more. So the evening service, if you, for some reason, can't make the morning. I can't think of a reason why you can't make the morning. But if you, for some reason, can't make the morning, there is an evening service as well. And Jolene should actually be sharing this. But we felt that worship is going to be so key in terms of what we're doing here on the property. In terms of healing, worship is going to be key. Healing in worship is going to be taking place. And so we are, in a sense, initiating the field with a worship event that same day in the PM service. And so we've invited the band from Wellington. Man, they've got a lot of fire on that side. They are going for gold. In Wellington, the services are just phenomenal. And so we said, bring the fire from that side of the valley and come share a bit of it here in the evening. And so Colin and the whole team from Shofar, Wellington, Pastor Nielsen, and they're all coming on the Sunday night. At 6 o'clock, we've got a tent, we've got string lights, we've got an incredible backdrop there. It's called the Mountains of Franschhoek. But we need you. We need worshipers. And there's only one agenda point, worship. And so I want to invite you to, that day is amazing. It starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and I don't know when it's going to end. We will see. But it's going to go the whole day. Some people saying they're bringing their, you have to bring your own lunch, but we also have braai's here. So you can bring your own meat. You can braai. You can sleep, take a middag slaapie on the veld. At 6 o'clock, we'll wake you up and saying it's time to go again. And then we're going to worship. The kids, they can just jump on the jumping castles all day. We've got lots of fuel for our generators, so you can just leave them on the jumping castles the whole afternoon. But that evening, we're just going to pursue the Lord together. And I'm so, so excited about that. Okay. My Bible and my sermon notes are actually at home because we started worshiping in practice and we didn't stop. We just went right through into the service. So my sermon is at home, but that's all right because God has got different plans for this morning. So I'm not going to preach my sermon this morning. I felt I need to go here to Psalm 24. So if you have your Bible with you, please go to Psalm 24. Psalm 24, a psalm of David, well-known psalm. Just before we jump into that psalm, I forgot there's one formality that I think is important. Aaron, come here. Aaron there at the back. It's Aaron's last official service with us. Yeah. We're going to miss him. Yeah. So in case you didn't know, Aaron Africa, he was the drummer here this morning. And the sound man. Yeah, we like to do double duty. It's the drummer and the sound man. But Aaron, yeah man, we just want to honor you this morning for, how many years have you been here with us? 4 years he's been with us. They've been staying up in the house here as well. Aaron and his team kept church going through COVID. Okay. They came in here and they produced for how long was it? Over a year. About a year. They produced every sermon that kept our little church alive. Through COVID, Aaron and his team put together many, many hours that they edited, set up cameras, set down cameras, set up lights, and got me and Jolene in front of the camera. I mean, that's the last place we ever wanted to be and still want to be, but we had to do it. But Aaron was the guy with his team that made that happen every week. So let's just honor him and give him a hand. He's also trained up our media team over the last few years and just sowed a lot into our volunteers. And so, Aaron, we honor you for that, brother. And we honor you for the deposit that you've left and your heart for worship. And we're going to miss you. I've negotiated that he will from time to time still come visit us on drums. So... So we've booked him for the 12th of March. He will be here as well. But let's just pray from Derek Rosita. If any of the other elders are here, where's Stefan? Let's just come and pray for Aaron. Yeah. It's Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the journey that we've been able to walk with Aaron, God, and with Brigitte and Xavier. Father God, we just take a moment to honor that which has been sown and deposited. We thank you for the blessing that he has been to our church. God, we thank you for all those sermons he churned out during COVID, Lord, and literally helped us be just a life string to our community. And so we just pray a blessing over the next season. We pray that you take him and his family from glory to glory. God, that you'd settle and establish them, Lord, in the next season. And God, that their lives would yield much fruit. Thank you, Lord, that you have and are restoring their authority and that they will just move into a next level of authority, God, in Jesus' name. Bless him, God, in Jesus' name.
Know the end from the beginning and the calling which is on their lives. And Lord God, you can navigate and you alone can navigate each and every footstep. And Lord, may it go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. In Jesus' blessed name, prosper both of them and the children, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Just saw a picture of your kitchen table, a round table with chairs all around, and on each table was a little olive tree. The Bible, I think it's Psalm 128, that says that your children will be like olive trees. We just pray that blessing over you and Brigitte, Lord God. Thank you that the family tree will just shoot new branches, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your protection over their family, Father God. And yeah, thank you for Aaron's part in his leadership as a father and a husband, Lord God. We bless him as a family's prophet, Lord God, and that he will raise up his family in your way and in your purposes, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, I just quickly also want to say something, sorry. I just want to confirm. I think it was Rosita saying this morning about God sees you. I think it's Elroy. God sees you, your wife, your children, and your future. It's all in his hands. And you might feel exhausted, feel like you need to rest right now, Lord. Yeah, we pray just to refill Aaron, Lord. Just refill him for his next season, Lord. We goes, may this olive oils just pour over him. A blessing from top to bottom, Lord. May he receive it and may he go out and glorify your name and may your kingdom come in his life and his family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Firstly, I want to thank you, Pastor Richard and Jolene, for walking an amazing journey with my family, for being amazing neighbors. Guys, if you want Lekker burgers, just come visit these guys. And I just want to thank our small group leaders, Mallory and Derky, who has also walked a long journey with us as well. We've grown so much because of your leadership. We are really, truly grateful for what you guys do and for our small group, which has grown or split. It's amazing what God's doing with us. And just as a church, I want to thank you guys for also as a community, especially during COVID where I think it was towards 2020, end of 2020, where we had our first son. So we were quite locked down, literally couldn't go anywhere. So, a lot of you, I don't know if Elzette is here, who just amazing support over the years and helping us. And yeah, I'm truly grateful for what God is doing in this church. And I pray that he will continue to grow what he's doing here and at the Healing Center forevermore. So this is not the last time you'll see me. As Pastor said, I'll be here. So I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in this church. Bless you guys.
Good stuff. So, you would have remembered when Pastor Armu was here at the Freedom Weekend in November last year. He reminded us of a prophecy that we had received probably about 7 years ago as a church. And he told the story of how he took a mission team to Sri Lanka and how a local Sri Lankan pastor came up to him and kind of in broken English said, "Does the word French hook mean anything to you?" And he said, he first didn't quite understand. He said, "Excuse me," and said, "The guys, does the word French hook mean anything to you?" And he said, "Yes, it does. It's where our headquarters of our church movement is." That was when it was still called headquarters. And then this Sri Lankan pastor said to Armu, he said, "They will lead many up the mountain there into God's presence." And it was a very kind of unique word. And I remember Armu, this is about 2 years before we came to Franchuk. He just posted it on the pastor's WhatsApp group. And I remember thinking, wow, that's quite an amazing word for Pastor Tiens. And then when we came here, I remember that word and we kind of latched onto it and we've been praying much into that. And I contacted Armu again and said, "Just remind me of that word. Speak to me again." He said, "Yes, he felt, it's that word and he's felt specifically Psalm 24. And so I want to from time to time hold that Psalm before us because it's a promise for us. It's a prophetic promise for us and sometimes we need to remind ourselves and we need to, in a sense, hold it before God. Not that he forgets, but for our purposes, we hold it before God. Suzette Hatting speaks about this word called Hagar. It means you hold the promise before God and you, in a sense, you remind him, "God, you promised you would do this. You promised this word over our valley, over our town, over our city, over our school." And you kind of, you Hagar it before God. And so that's what we're going to do in a sense this morning. We're going to just remind ourselves and remind God, not that He really needs reminding, but we're going to hold it before the Lord. And Psalm 24 is, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek Your face. I'll read up to there for now. It's a Psalm of David, and obviously it's got a strong introductory section around who God is and how earth relates to the Lord, and how the things of the earth belong to the Lord. He's saying the earth is the Lord's, everything in it, all its fullness, it is the Lord's. The world and all those who dwell therein. He founded it upon the seas. And you're reminded, we've just read through Genesis in Bible school, and you remember in the beginning the earth was void and it was just water and it was darkness. And then God spoke and started decreeing and establishing, and order came, and there was a split between night and day and earth and sea and all these things. But it's always been God's. The earth belongs to Him. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. And then David, in a sense, localizes. He takes a macro view, and then he brings it to kind of this micro view. And he says, he poses this really challenging question. And the question is, who may go into God's presence? Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Remember, in David's time, we're talking about the localized presence of God. We're talking about the Ark of the Covenant. We're talking about the holy presence of God literally dwelling between the wings of the cherubim above the mercy seat. That is where God's presence dwelled, and this ark was housed at different stages in different places. In David's time, we read about David's tabernacle being different to Solomon's temple. And kind of the original tabernacle that Moses set up. But in David's time, things changed, and it kind of got this informal, what they call like a big gazebo. And God's presence dwelt there, and David instituted this 24-hour, 365 worship, this non-stop worship. He appointed the singers. He appointed the Levites. He appointed those to minister to the Lord continually. But it was still, from what I understand, in Jerusalem, and you would go up towards Jerusalem. You would come from all Judea and Galilee, and you would make your way to go and worship, and you would sing the Psalms of Ascent as you literally, physically walked up the steps to the hill of the Lord. Who may ascend? Who may go up to the hill of the Lord? Who may go into God's presence? Who may draw near? It's a challenging question. Luckily, he answers it. He says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? Who may be in front of God? He or she who has clean hands. Let's see those hands. Okay. Some of us got hands here this morning. Wave your hand if you've got a hand. Okay. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He or she who's got clean hands. What does clean hands represent? Holiness. Righteousness. Being blameless. Purity. Yes. Your hands represent what you do. It's your works. So clean hands speaks about what are you doing with your life? What are your actions amount to? David, in fact, is criticized for having too much blood on his hands. Is it his fault? Well, that's an interesting theological debate. God caused him to expand the boundaries of Israel like no other king has gone before, but it meant David was a man of war. Many, many battles. Much blood on his hands. What is going on in our lives? Because God says, you come to me through my son, but before you come to me through my son, I want to see what's going on in your hands. Metaphorically. What are the stuff you're busy with? What is going on at home? What is going on when nobody's looking? What is going on with your finances? What is going on with your taxes? What is going on when you're on the internet and nobody's watching? What is going on when it's just you and your wife or your husband? And how are you speaking to one another? How do you speak to your kids? How do you relate to your boss? What is going on with the work of our hands? Because God is saying, who may ascend, who may draw near? He who has clean hands. So the chances are, all of us have had dirty hands at some stage. In fact, it's pretty much guaranteed, Derek, if my theology is correct. For all have sinned, and have fallen short. We've all missed the mark. All of our hands, in a sense, are dirty. We were building the wall here yesterday, and man, we had so many kids here, I lost count. And they were just having a blast. Nobody told them what to do. They were playing soccer, and then the kids were doing the brying. That is amazing. Amazing buddhavos that they bribed for us, and then they were carrying the stones, and then they were wielding picks and forks, and things got a bit exciting at times. And at one point, the kids were just kids, and there's a lot of clay up there, and they were just in the clay. You know, one of the moms came to me and just said, "Where's the tap?" And so I could lead this excited little infant to tap because we get our hands dirty. And in life, we also get our hands dirty. It's part of the package. At some point, you get your hands dirty. If there was somebody that didn't get their hands dirty, they'd be perfect. The problem is there's no perfect human beings on earth. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Okay? So we've all, at one point in time, had our hands dirty. So having dirty hands is not necessarily a crisis. It just means you need Jesus. Because as we sang this morning, what can wash us white as snow? Nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so this morning, there's bad news. The bad news is if you've got dirty hands, you've got a problem. Because you can't come to God. You cannot stand in front of God's presence and think you're okay with dirty hands and think He's not going to notice. We cannot just ignore the sin that continues. We cannot ignore the fact that it's not fine to take stuff that's not yours. It's called stealing. And the Bible judges it. We cannot carry on doing stuff and think God doesn't see that our hands are dirty. He sees. He sees. And it's not like He chases us away. He still invites us. But He says, come. Come through my Son and let us clean you up. Come through Jesus and let us wash and sort out those hands of yours. This morning I'm just going to speak about the first aspect. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands. We're going to go into a bit of a spontaneous mini-series here on the conditions for coming into the presence of God. Because we, as a church, we've been called to go up the mountain. Number one. Number two, we've been called prophetically to lead many up the mountain. That means when we go up the mountain, our hands are sorted out. Or at least we're actively sorting it out. Because who knows, you can't lead others if you don't live the life. I mean, if you ask any parent, they speak to their kid, don't do that. Hukum. I'm not extra say. Maar jy doen dit ook, papa. And you just like, your authority drops like a lead balloon. Kunk. It's like, okay. It's like smoking or whatever. I've seen those debates, you know. Jy mag nie rook nie, maar jy rook ook. Give them 2 or 3 years, they are rooking together. It's lekker. Because there's no authority. There's no authority to say, you can't do that. You do it too, Dad. You do it too, Mom. They don't do what we tell them to do. They do what we do. They do what they see. So our hands have got to be clean when we're leading. And if our call is to lead others, our hands need to be clean. It starts with us. It starts with us. And so this promise about leading many up into the God's presence, it's all exciting, but it's got conditions and prerequisites that it vereist us. So if we, that church that are called to lead others, means we're a leader. When you become a leader, you say yes to responsibility. One of those responsibilities, Lord, I'm going to apply the word of God to my life. I'm going to sort out my hands. Because God is fine with dirty hands for a while. And He says, okay, we're done with dirty hands now. Sort it out. Repent. Repent, wonderful. You repent. You say, Jesus, I bring my dirt, my filth before you. I don't want it anymore. I change my mind. I get my heart behind it. And I walk away. It's called repentance. I walk away from the old dirty hand stuff. I'm done with that. So I feel the Lord is calling us to park at the conditions for going up the mountain. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? He or she who's got clean hands. We'll talk about pure hearts and souls that are not defiled by idols next time. But today we're starting with pure hands, clean hands. So let's close our eyes. Jesus, thank you for your promises. Thank you for your purposes. Thank you for your kingdom. Lord, it's your kingdom. And Lord, you've allowed us to get a sliver, a snapshot of the promises that you have for this church. Lord, to lead others into the presence of God. And Lord, we remind ourselves, we hug that word before you this morning. We say we want it. We want it to take place. We want to lead others into your presence. But in the same breath, we realize it starts with us. We cannot lead others if our hands are not clean. And so Holy Spirit, we invite you to show us the state of our hands this morning. That which we are busy with. Yeah, I just feel the Lord saying we must be really bold about this. And so we're going to do the uncomfortable thing, and we're going to turn to the person next to us. And if you're willing, if you're brave enough, there's something you want to confess. You want to bring into the light. Say, Lord, forgive me for this. We're going to pray for one another. That times of refreshing may come as we repent. God has promised us in Acts 3, times of refreshing will come if we repent. And so let's just take a few minutes. Let's turn to the person next to you. And if you're bold enough, share with them what's on your heart. And then I'm going to pray for us. Another 2 minutes. Thank you. Amen. I'd encourage you, if the pot has just been stirred and something's popped out and not quite dealt with, you can go home. Church carries on when we go home. You've got the whole day, whole week. I'd encourage you, take it to the Lord, sort it out with the Lord. And this week, let's really bring our hands before the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me about the state of my hands. Then lastly, we're a church that's also trusting for revival. Amen? Amen, amen. You may have missed it, but for about the last 10 days in the U.S., there has been a revival that's broken out at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky. Okay? It's massive on social media. Basically, it was a chapel service that just never ended. And it's so, so beautiful. It's students that are at the helm of this revival. It's being covered by initially Christian media, CBN, TBN, but now even the secular media is starting to cover it, and asking what is going on. And people are driving from all over the states to this tiny little town in Kentucky. Guess how many people live in that little town? 6,000. It's a third of the size of Franschhoek. It's a tiny little town. And people are driving from all over. They're flying in literally now from all over the world to go and experience this outpouring of just the Holy Spirit. And it's incredible. It's incredible. And we must pray for them. We must pray for them because I tell you what, God is doing it through the students. He's doing it through this young generation. And the stuff that the Lord is giving this generation is peace in the midst of a generation that's never suffered with anything like depression like any other generation. They're getting peace. God is giving all the keys that they need for this generation. And I want to tell you, we must watch out what the young people are doing because they are going to blaze ahead. Last night we were at an event in Paul, interdenominational event called Revival for Paul. What is it called? I can't remember. Paul Revival. You know what was amazing about that revival, that get together? We're probably about 3,000 people in a stadium there in the middle of Paul. I still don't know who organized it. I don't know who the pastors were that came up and spoke. No brand, no church, nothing was punted. Just Jesus. Jesus as King. And we happened to know a few of the band guys because it was the Worship Awake guys and a lot of shofar band guys are part of that as well. But that's the only people we knew. And Jolene and I just sensing that, you know, we've studied revivals and we've seen that God, He can cause revivals to literally jump across the sea to different nations. And it can go over the world. And I tell you, America is getting so excited that young people of America are getting excited. But it's been coming for a while. There's been a call for revival for a while. You just watch with Sean Flucht and these guys have been doing right through COVID. They've been calling out for revival. And so things are heating up in the spirit. And we've seen the first major U.S. revival since 1997, since Brownsville. And it's happened in the last 10 days. And us as a church that's called to follow revival, we're a little bit like those guys that watch for tornadoes. And we watch this stuff and we see it's happening. And then you, or the big wave surfers, they say the swell is hitting Mexico, it's hitting France. And they get on a plane, they go and fly, they go and get it. And I want to tell you, there's something stirring. So be aware, follow it, pray for that, the university, pray for the students, pray for the leadership of that campus that they steward the work of God well. But we just felt that God is going to do something through the younger generation. And so tonight we're wanting to do something that we haven't done before, but we're wanting to go through to Stellenbosch University, to Shofar Stellenbosch, and just go and be a part of what God is doing there. I can tell you, I don't know what he's doing, but I know he's doing something. I had coffee with a worship leader from Shofar Stellenbosch a week ago, and he just said there's something happening in the worship of the young people, not just in Shofar Stellenbosch, but just across that campus. And so we want to do a prophetic act tonight and say, Lord, we see what you're doing in America with the students. We can't get to America. We can't get to Kentucky, but we're going to go to Stellenbosch. And so I've booked Silva. He's not here this morning, but we've booked his bus. So if you want to go with tonight, it's 4 o'clock in the parking lot. There'll be a lift. So we're not going to have a service yet tonight, which is not something that a pastor likes to do. But we're doing it tonight because we feel prophetically we need to go and be a part of what God is doing on campus. Just say, Lord, what you're doing there, give it to us as well. We're hungry and we're thirsty for revival.